Attend upon the word of the prophet Isaiah. This is from Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10. A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from his roots. The Lord's spirit will rest upon him. A spirit of wisdom and understanding. A spirit of planning and strength. A spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in fearing the Lord. He won't judge by appearances, nor decide by hearsay. He will judge the needy with righteousness and decide with equity for those who suffer in the land. He will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth, and by his breath, the breath of his lips, he will kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt around his hips, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and a lion will eat straw like an ox. A nursing child will play over the snake's hole. Toddlers will reach right over the serpent's den. They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, just as the water covers the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations will seek him out, and his dwelling will be glorious. And now I invite Barb Bennett to share the gospel with us.
Why, yes, it is.
I wanted to be sure you could hear me. This scripture is from Matthew 3, 1 through 12. While Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John, called the Baptizer, was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. John and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy. Thunder in the desert, prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John dressed in a camel hair habit, tied at the waist by a leather strap. He lived on a diet of locust and wild field honey. People poured out of Judea and the Jordanian countryside to hear and see him in action. There at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life. When John realized that a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do, he exploded. "Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and flourishing? Because if it's deadwood, it goes in the fire. I am baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom of life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned.
Loving God, open our hearts to hearing your word this day. Transform us, Lord, so that we can transform others for you. Amen. Got to share something with you, something that I'd, I guess I discovered about myself this past week. The streaming service that streams music and podcasts, Spotify, they did something that I would best describe as an audit of my music listening preferences. And they put together a list of my top 100 songs that I listened to over this past year. It said, music for 2022. Now, 2022 isn't over yet. I could listen to something and really get on the list. But one thing that they also do when they give you this list, they decide to do an analysis of who you are as a listener, too. If you're an occasional listener or what songs you like to listen to, if you're a rocker or you love classical music, they use the E word with me, eclectic. Eclectic. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but that's what they say. So I thought I would share a little bit of perhaps why that is. These are groups and performers on my top 10. I'm not listing the whole thing, just to give you a breadth of what's on here. The Chieftains, Bach, Mozart, Mussorgsky, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, Maynard Ferguson, Alan Jackson, a cappella, Beatles, Jethro Tull, Chicago, Tom Tom Club, B-52s, Talking Heads, Electric Light Orchestra, Queen, Regina Spektor, Kate Bush, and this year, my son's Jeremy band, Archimedean Point, made my top 100. Yeah, I do love music. And I can trace my love of music back to when I was a youngster and how that love was enculturated, how that love was developed. And it really began with a shared love that my family had for the music of Christmas. How do I know this? Well, not too long ago, I performed an archaeological dig under the mounds of media in a dining room cabinet at the parsonage. And while I was there, I discovered an artifact. Are you ready? Dun, dun, dun. A cassette tape. A cassette tape. Oh, ancient. And on this Memorex MRX2 oxide 60-minute, 30-minute on each side cassette tape protected in this hard plastic cover, there are the contents therein reflect an experience that happened in the Shelton household 47 years ago. Yes, this is Christmas Eve 1975. And if you were to listen to this cassette tape, this ancient artifact, then you would hear your 13-year-old pastor as we played and sang. We played trumpet solos, trumpet duets, string solos, string trios. We had recorder music. That's not tape recorder. That's those long wooden things. Yeah, like flutes. We had my mom playing small tuned bells, doing jingle bells on each one. And we sang lots and lots of singing. You may say that on this tape, you would hear great joy. And that the Sheltons were doing what they can to repeat the sounding joy. Now I'm thinking that there are those of us that are in this place right now that you're filled with joy of the season. You're excited. You got expectations for what's happening. But I know that there are those of us in this place right now that are also very stressed at this time of year. I know that because some of you are working longer hours because the year is about to end and you're having to catch up. And there's not enough workers out there, and so people, you're doing the work of two or three people. Or you're doing the work of a million people trying to get your homes ready to receive guests for the Christmas holiday. It's a time of great stress. And yes, there are those of us here that are not exactly looking forward to Christmas because it will not be the same. Because not everybody that was at last Christmas will be at this Christmas. Do you know what I mean? And so, with all those things going on, I pose the question, how can we repeat the sounding joy when we can't feel joy? Well, praise the Lord that we are in this pre-Christmas season of Advent where we have the time to engage questions like that, don't we? We have time to consider how in this season of joy are we to experience joy? How in this season of joy can we share joy when joy seems to be in short supply? So today we're going to consider what the scriptures have to say to us of what joy means and how we can experience that joy. But before we get to scripture, I just want to recite this poetry again that you sang so beautifully just moments ago. Hear these words from Isaac Watts, published 303 years ago. It's become one of our favorites. The second verse, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat. Repeat the sounding joy. Boy, even in that verse, can't you just hear it again? The message from last week's scripture, last week's song verse. Heaven and nature sing. And to meditate strictly on that one verse brings my heart great joy because, again, what Isaac Watts is doing, he's talking about this amazing event of when the Savior reigns, when we know that he is in control of everything. I mean, we believe that, but when we know that, it's going to be so powerful that even nature will proclaim joy. The prophet Isaiah knew how nature could proclaim joy. The words of the prophet, as I pull them up here, we see metaphor. I hope that when you read these words or hear these words of the prophet, that you realize that these words are not really to be taken literally, that really and truly what they are metaphors. And I'll explain why. Isaiah, in the 11th chapter, uses a metaphor from nature, a stump. Now, what is it that you know about stumps? You trip over them, right? Got to watch out that when you're mowing the lawn, you don't mow over them. But the thing is, a stump is a stump is a stump. It is kind of a dead thing. Things may grow on it. Things may grow around it. But in a lot of ways, it's dead. The tree has been leveled. There is no possibility that another tree is just going to go boom right up like it was before, whatever magnificent tree it was. A stump is a stump. And here it's a metaphor because Isaiah calls this the stump of Jesse. There's not a Jesse tree that he's talking about. What he's talking about is Jesse. And Jesse points to, if you're looking at history, Jesse was David's father. But the stump of Jesse points to something else. He's pointing to the nations. He's pointing to the people. He's pointing to the nations of Israel and Judah. And he says, you know what? Because of how you are living your lives, your own self-centered ways, living your lives turned from God, you will become like a stump. You will be leveled. And you will become a stump. But even in the middle of this reality of no possibility, of no hope, new life begins. Can you hear it? New life begins. Even in the midst of this, God is at work. And a shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from the roots. And then we get to see where, yeah, Isaiah's not really talking about a tree, because he's saying that these branches and roots, the Lord's Spirit will rest upon him. A spirit of wisdom and understanding, of planning, of strength, of knowledge and fear, delighting in the fear of the Lord. That's a great respect of the Lord, who won't judge but by righteousness, and especially for justice for the needy. And for those that have it all, he will balance the sheets there. And for those who resist God, well, then they will lose. For righteousness and faithfulness will be what this stump is all about. And then this shoot, these branches that are growing, that are alive, well, then we have the vision of something called the peaceable kingdom, where predators lie down with those animals that are their prey. The new reality. What does this say for us? Well, how many of us, even right now in this season of joy, may find ourselves where we're in a state where there is no possibility. We're stuck in a state where there may not be any hope. We're hurting, we're lonely, we're lost. Hear the good news. God is with you. And God is at work. And God is doing such a work that in the midst of this, God's love will break through and transformation will happen. It's like a flower that breaks through concrete. Let's go ahead and show that picture, guys. That always amazes me, right? Heavy concrete poured. And yeah, we have this issue in our parking lot as well. But this is amazing to me, that a little scraggly plant is somehow able to break through rock to have life. This is how God's joy works through all of us. We may be under a ton of concrete, but God's love will help us to break through so that we can live and that we can be transformed and that we can experience the love of God and we can experience the joy and we can repeat the loving joy to this world. It's all about the transformation. John the Baptist was all about transformation, right? But what a cranky guy he was. I read, you know, when we're engaging these scriptures, friends, you got to know that these scriptures are specifically noted for this time of the year. Every year, these scriptures come up. This John the Baptist always comes up on the second Sunday of Advent. And every second Sunday of Advent, preachers like me go, what are we going to do with this guy? What do you do with a locust honey-eating guy wearing hairy clothes that are itchy in full Elijah mode out in the wilderness? Well, I guess you listen to what he has to say. Vipers, rank pullers. I mean, he's full of insults. But what I hear in John the Baptist, ultimately, is that he is the tough love pastor. And he's trying to wake people up to the lives that they live, so that they can turn from their selfish lives, their self-involved lives, their all-about-me lives, and they can turn toward God. We have a technical name for that turning. That's called repentance. Repentance is not just about saying, I'm sorry. Because most of the time we say we're sorry and we still are facing toward ourselves. But when we repent, then we're on the path to turning toward God. And it's not a one-time all thing, right? You keep on turning to God. This is what John the Baptist was trying to tell people. And John the Baptist really had to wake people up. Who were the people that we heard that he was talking to? Scribes and Pharisees, right? You know that scribes and Pharisees were good synagogue people, good temple people, good church people. He wasn't talking about people that didn't believe. He was talking to people that did believe in God. But he's saying, you have to turn your life to God. And so he has this message of turning toward God always. And it's not just his message. This is what Jesus preaches later too, we find out. He says, repent and know that the kingdom of God has come near. Kingdom of heaven in Matthew. And so we have this promise. This wonderful promise to live life with love. Now, when you consider it that way, don't you see John differently? What kind of man would give his life to standing in the River Jordan? How many of you would like to stand in water all day? You can imagine that camel hair getting all smelly and such. And I know that, you know, those locusts must be nutritious. But what kind of man would give up his life so that he could proclaim that the main character is coming? That he is not the main character, but the one who is coming. And would give his life to that mission. Well, somebody who has a deep love. And someone who is passionately empowered by his joy. And that's John the Baptist. And John the Baptist would invite us all to turn our lives so that we would know that loving joy. You see, here's the thing. We are people who are excited right now. We are people that are filled with joy. We are a people who are filled with stress and anxiety. By the way, if you listen to that tape, you'll hear joy and then you'll hear me get in a fight with my brothers and sisters. Also, my voice hasn't changed. You're not going to hear that tape. We are also a people that are hurting, that have suffered loss, and that are lonely. We are a people who are hungry for joy, aren't we? And we are people who are called to experience a loving God who gives us hope, who gives us love, who showers us with joy, and who provides us peace. How do we know this? Why, through the waters of our baptism. You know, even if you haven't been baptized yet, you're still connected. Because these waters of baptism welcome everyone. And they mean something. This isn't simple H2O, this is water that connects us all. This is water that points to joy, loving joy, resounding joy. So this is what I want to encourage you to do, and encourage me also. I want you to know who you are as a child of God. Reflect on it this week. And I want you to hear your call. All of you have a call. If I was to come up to you and say, do you have a call? You know, sometimes, well, I don't have a call. Because you all think sometimes that it's only pastors that are called. But it's not. We are all called. You do not audit Christianity. You don't. You don't set it out. You are called. And what are you called to do? You are called to be shoots and branches. For Jesus is shoot and branches, and we are imitators of Christ. So be a shoot. Be a branch. connect. Boy, that word sounds familiar. Connect with those around you in this season of joy, this season of stress, this season of hurt. Connect and embrace. And when you do, repeat the sounding joy. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.